If you have your Bibles with you today, I encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. There's a pew Bible in front of you, the version of which I'm reading from today, if you would like to follow along. And so we find these words in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good or for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but instead on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us today. Continue to bless us in this time of worship. May these words be your words. May we understand what you're trying to tell us when you say that we are salt and that we are light. I pray, Lord, that the message will be clear, it will be concise, it will be understood, and Lord, that we would live it out. And I pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. There are literally thousands of images in the Bible, mostly drawn with words. May I point out a few of them? Is that okay? If you take the prophecy of Isaiah and the words of the book of Revelation, you get the idea of the lion lying down with the lamb, right? There's an image. In Jeremiah 18, God talks about being the potter and we are the clay, and how God is molding us into who we can be. You turn to the New Testament, there's a story in Luke chapter 15 about a father. He had two boys, you'll remember. One ran off to the far country, and one stayed closer to home. And we get from that a picture of a father who loves both of his boys equally. One was a prodigal, you'll remember. There's an image in John chapter 4 where Jesus finds himself at noontime at a well in the city of Sychar, and Jesus talks to a woman there, and he says, "You will draw living water." Living water. I love that. Just after they shared a meal together in the upper room, Jesus walks down the steps, and there's a vine that grows unruly. Do you have unruly vines at your house? I do. I have to redirect them, sometimes prune them, but Jesus lifts that vine up, and he says to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches." That's a great image. Here's some more. Jesus talks about being the bread of life. Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. Jesus talks about being a gate for all of us to enter. There's no shortage of images from the Bible drawn with words. In our lesson today, we get two strong images. One is salt, and the other is light. I'd like to remind you we're in a sermon series in this month in June that we're simply calling Summer on the Mount. It's kind of a play on words of the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we looked at the Beatitudes, and I told you it'd be easy for me to preach a 9-week sermon series on the Beatitudes. Today's sermon could be two, really, salt and light. Next week, we're going to take a look at the Lord's Prayer. There's 6 or 7 sermons there. And then, but I'm not going to do that. One sermon today, one last week, one next week. And we'll finish it up with what I like to call building plans. Today, Jesus says to those on the mountain within earshot, "You are the salt of the earth." My mom died 2 years ago. Almost at this time of year in July. And she was an English teacher all her career, her teaching career. She'd be proud of me what I'm about to tell you. The pronoun here is not singular. It's plural. You are the salt of the earth. Not just Tony is the salt of the earth, but we are the salt of the earth. Have you all noticed that when I speak, I have a little bit of a southern twang? Have y'all noticed that? I was having lunch not too long ago, and a lady asked me, she said, "Where are you from?" She says, "I'd love to hear you talk." I said, "You should come Sunday morning. I do it 20 minutes at a time." Come on. But the southern of this is y'all. Y'all are the salt of the earth. Y'all. My mom would also be proud that I'm pointing this out. Jesus isn't speaking here just singular. He's talking plural, and he's talking about the imperative case. He's not saying you ought to be the salt of the earth. You ought to think about being the salt of the earth. You should be the salt of the earth. No, he's saying this is who you are. You are the salt of the earth. Well, what does that mean in his day? What does it mean in our day? I'll admit I don't know a lot about salt. And I'm sure my doctor would not want me to be eating salt on a regular basis. I'm pretty confident of that. In Jesus' day, salt had two purposes. One was to preserve. There were no side-by-side refrigerators with ice makers and nice freezers around. There were no walk-in freezers for you to store food. No, salt, especially seasoned, that's the second purpose, but also preserved fish and meat, and kept it safe. That's its first function. The second was to enhance its flavor. Now, Chris, I've never heard of this seasoning of which you speak, but one that I use all the time when I cook is one called Cavender's. Have you heard of Cavender's? I put it on fish. I put it on vegetables. I put it on meat. I put it on the occasional steak. Did you know it's made right here in Arkansas? In Boone County, I understand, in Harrison. And I thought, I love cooking with that stuff. And yesterday, I looked at its sodium content. Wow. Salt in Jesus' day was also used in temple sacrifices. It was used in medicinal purposes. It cleansed, and it even had the power to heal. I remember years ago I had an infection on my chin, and I went to the Gulf Coast on a trip, and all of a sudden it was gone. Salt cleansed it and healed it. It's valuable. Did you know that? Salt in Jesus' day was used as currency. As Laura said, it was used to pay Roman soldiers. It's where we get the word salary, salium. Salary, and have you ever heard the phrase, "He's not worth his salt"? Yeah, that's where that comes from. Salt was critical in Jesus' day, and that is why Jesus holds it up as an example. Y'all are salt. And here's something else about salt I'll say in a minute. Salt is not intended to stay in its shaker. It's intended to be used. Paul writes this to the church at Colossae, chapter 4, verse 6. "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." In other words, it ought to be uplifting, encouraging, enriching, affirming, truthful, and gracious. Y'all are salt. And Jesus warns, stay salty. To borrow a phrase from our day, stay salty, right? Don't lose your zest. Don't lose your zing. Will you please pass the salt? Next comes light. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." What I said of salt is also true of light here. It is the plural. Y'all are light. The imperative case is also true here. You don't have to think about being light. You should be light. You ought to be light. No, it's who you are. Jesus says, Y'all are the light of the world. I looked it up because that's my job. In the Bible, the word light is used 200 times. That's a lot of light, isn't it? We read this passage at Christmas, a prophecy about Jesus. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has come. Amen? I'm going to tell you, one of my favorite moments of the year is on December the 24th in this sanctuary. Near the end of the worship service, we start to sing Silent Night. We take the light from the Christ candle and we pass it out to all of you. And when everyone has it, we lift those lights up. You know the moment I'm talking about? The lights are dim and the light shines in the darkness. It is a powerful, powerful moment. I love that moment. Jesus gives us a warning about salt losing its zest. He also gives us a warning about hiding the light. Light, you see, is supposed to be shared and it's supposed to shine. A flame in Jesus' day was hard to come by. There were no butane lighters. There were no matches. No one casually blew out a light because getting that light back was hard. It was difficult. So when you left your house for safety reasons, you put a bowl over the light, and when you came back home, you took the light off. Jesus also said this, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Have any of you ever, I'm sure you have, driven across the 430 bridge across the Arkansas River? Have you ever done that? Coming from Conway Mall Mill into Little Rock? Have you ever done that at night? You ever notice the lights on the hillside of the houses that are up there? I love seeing that. It reminds me of this passage. A city on a hill can't be hidden. And yet, darkness is all around us, isn't it? Yeah. I think the question as Christians we ought to ask is not, why is there so much darkness? I think the question as Christians is this, why isn't there more light? That's our job. Y'all are light. Amen? May I ask you, is your light shining today? If not, why not? There's a great story I ran across some years ago, and I found it again this week. I thought about it, went looking for it. It's a story of a church that was built on a hillside in the mountains of Switzerland. It was built with great care by a king, and he took extra care for everything. The setting was perfect right there on a hill. The sanctuary was beautiful, as you might could imagine. There were beautiful woodwork pews. The floors were slate. I mean, no expense was spared for this little chapel for all the villagers to come and to worship. Only one thing was left out, no electricity in the building. That was intentional. Every family was given a lantern. And at every pew, because y'all know y'all have your own pews, right? I mean, let's be honest. You know you have your own pews. You're going to sit where you always sit. So every family had a lantern, and every pew had a post. And when you came into church, you put your lantern on the post. Those who lived across the way from the mountain love to see the church come alive at night with light. That's when that church met at night, just after dark. It was intentional. They would watch the villagers walk up the small hill, and they watch them with their lights walk into the church, and pretty soon the church was filled with light. Now, if everybody was there, man, it was a bright place. Hey, I might say we need a little light right here and right here and right here and right here, right here.
Points. Give more points.
Give more points. That's right, Carl. I might say that, right? But what I wanted to say really is that in that moment, when everybody was in that church, It was a very bright place. And even when a few were missing, it's still a very bright place like it would be today. And those across the way said, when the light goes into the church, that's when it's a church. Otherwise, it's just a building. You know what we usually do? We don't have acolytes today. That was bad planning on my part. But we take that light out into the world. Amen? Are y'all with me? Y'all are light. So shine brightly. Amen.